Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I'm so glad that you joined us on the program today. I wanted to let you know that we're going to do something unique here on the program. I have one guest on the program, and we do an interview with just the one guest, and we go through our conversation that way. However, today we're actually having two guests on the program, and so we've got two lines set up for them, kind of on the same line. But anyways, they're both are calling in from two different locations, and both of them have two very different perspectives on the topic that we're going to be talking about today. One, the topic that we're talking about today is same-sex marriage, and that's what we're going to be holding a little bit of a debate here, if you will, on same-sex marriage on the program today. And that, let me give you a little bit of background about this this topic and how we've come to have this debate on the program today. Recently, a new group was formed called the Evangelicals for Marriage Equality, and the spokesperson for that group is Brandon Robinson, and he'll be on the program today to represent them on the program and represent that position, the idea of evangelicals for marriage equality. The opposing position, if I could put it this way, although there's not a group that's set up this way, but evangelicals against same-sex marriage, will be represented by Evan Lenau. Lenau. He is the Assistant Professor of Ethics and Associate Director of the Land Center for Cultural Engagement at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so he'll be representing that position. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background as to what has taken place. I mentioned that a statement came out, I believe it was on the 9th, September 9th. And again, that statement basically said that there was a group of evangelicals who were for marriage equality. And so they're for same-sex marriage. And this is just a brief reading. I don't have time on the program to read the entire statement, but just the opening part of it says this: as evangelicals for marriage equality, we believe that you can be a devout Bible-believing evangelical and support the right of same-sex couples to be recognized by the government as married. Our commitment to following Christ leads us to speak out for equal treatment under the law for others, whether or not they share our religious convictions. And then it goes on in the statement there to make a couple other points, that evangelicals in America face a generational divide. So they just basically say that young people are for young people are for a new view of marriage in our society, while older Americans and older Christians are not for it. They hold to a more traditional view of it. And then it goes on to say the few bonds are more sacred than the one created at the marriage altar. And so there, no one religious perspective should determine who can and cannot be married. That's a statement at the end of that particular paragraph and so forth. So I can't read the entire thing, but that's the gist of it, that you can be a faithful, Bible-believing, evangelical Christian and hold to this view, is what the statement is mentioning. Well, a couple of things happened then subsequent to the release of that press release. Let's see if I've got these in order here. I think what first came out was maybe the Baptist Refute Evangelical Marriage Group. This was in the BP News, and according to the one I have in my hand here, says it came out on September 17th. And so there was a group of people in that article that said that, what was said by this evangelical group does not square with Scripture. I'm paraphrasing, but does not square with Scripture, and there is no good reason to adopt a different view of marriage. Specifically, in the article, Evan Leno was mentioned here in the article as well, and he takes a different position, obviously. He's quoted here as saying this: to say that they do not take a theological position on marriage is disingenuous, was one of the statements that he makes here in this article. So that came out, Baptists refute evangelical marriage group. A subsequent article was also printed then in the Huffington Post, and this was Evangelicals for Marriage Equality, a response to our critic. And so our guest on the program today, Brandon Robinson, he was quoted in this. In fact, he wrote this, and in here he says, well, the people that refuted us, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but the people who refuted us, they didn't really address what we're really talking about. You know, they put up straw men, if you will, and they addressed another issue, but they really didn't go to the crux of what we were talking about. And so he refutes their refutation that way. And then there was another one that came out in the Christian Post, and this one said, Evangelicals for Marriage Equality launch draws harsh criticism. No coherent argument made that supports same-sex marriage. And in that one, another individual from the Andrew T. Walker from the Policy Studies and Ethics on Religious Liberty Commission at the Southern Baptist Convention, he basically says in this article that there's nothing here that was said in the 800 words. There is no cogent argument about the nature of marriage. And that's what the debate Americans are having is about, isn't it? And so he says that the folks from the Evangelical for Equality in Marriage or Marriage Equality, that they didn't make their case. They weren't able to do it. So Evan Leno has offered to have some of the members of this new group come to Dallas, where he's at, I think. He's at Dallas. In Dallas, and he is Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he has offered for them to come into his class that he has. He says this, in light of this and the spirit of dialogue, I am offering an open invitation for EME co-founders Josh Dixon and Michael Saltzman and or spokesman Brandon Robinson to have a dialogue in my ethics classes on the campus of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And so he's given this open invitation for them to come. Now, I think that somebody from the group is going to try to attend that, maybe Brandon. But before they do, I thought, hey, we'll have both of them on the program and talk about this on the program first, and then maybe this will set the stage a little bit for that of them actually going there to Dallas. Well, I know that's a mouthful, and it's a lot to take in, but I wanted you to understand the context in which we're having this discussion. With that, let me go ahead and welcome Brandon first into the program today. Brandon, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Okay, and Evan, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I've had you on previously. I think it might have been about for one of the books that you had authored. I'm not sure, but it was quite a while ago. So welcome back to the program, Evan.
Thanks, Kevin. It's good to talk with you again.
Okay. Let me start with Brandon, if we could. Brandon, as you can tell, I just don't have time to read through the entire statement, but the issue seems to come down with many of the critics on the subject of the definition of marriage. And the critics, if there's one common criticism that seems to be leveled at the new group, is that you are in essence changing the definition of marriage. Your response?
Yeah, definitely. All that is a constant criticism that Evangelicals for Marriage Equality keeps coming up against, and we keep trying to make clear that our organization doesn't claim, first of all, that we're not theological, because, of course, the moment you bring the word evangelical into the equation, you've brought a theological label. But we're absolutely not taking a theological position on the sacrament of marriage, and it's not disingenuous to say that. It's honest. It's verifiable. We have, as an organization, never made a single claim about the theological definition of the sacrament of marriage, because everybody on our board has their own theology. And within evangelicalism, there is a wide range of different theologies. Many who will align with the conservative view of Dr. Linnell, and others with different views. But evangelicals for marriage equality doesn't take a theological position on the sacrament of marriage because we're not interested in addressing that. We're not saying that the evangelical understanding of marriage is wrong. We're not trying to redefine marriage or revise the definition of marriage. We're saying that regardless of your theological position on the nature of the sacrament of marriage, you still could and should support civil marriage equality.
Let me ask you a couple. You say you're not theological, even though with the, like you acknowledge, putting the word evangelical into the name of the organization, immediately, you're not saying that you're coming to any sort of conclusion without taking into consideration what the scripture has to say about this subject, are you?
What we're saying is that as a group of evangelical Christians, of course, each of us individually has our own theology about marriage, about sexuality. But regardless of whatever those theological views might lead us to believe, and there are a diversity of views within evangelical Christianity, even if you hold the traditional, more conservative view, you still can and should support the right of LGBT men and women to be civilly married under the law in the United States. And we're compelled by the call of the scriptures to do justice and to stand for equality. And that's what compels us to want to love our LGBTQ neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're... Go ahead.
Let me ask you a follow-up on a couple of those. One, when you say that people hold a different position on marriage, that's not quite true, right? Because historically, universally, the orthodox position on marriage is there's a tremendous weight of acceptance of what the biblical definition for marriage was, a marriage between, a union between a man and a woman. And that is historical evidence of it held by the Orthodox Church down through the ages from the very beginning. And so there's this tremendous weight that is there of this is the of the Orthodox position and the well-established position. So evangelicals don't hold different positions on marriage itself. That's been pretty firmly established. So let me ask you this. What is your definition of biblical marriage? And secondly, then, what is the definition of marriage that you're advocating for in a civil definition of it?
Here's the thing. I'm not interested in defining. I have no problem aligning with a traditional evangelical view of marriage, but our organization as a whole, as the spokesperson, we do not take a single theological view on the sacrament of marriage. And so...
We can't talk about an issue unless we can define it. How do you define marriage?
Exactly. We're defining civil marriage. Civil marriage is a marriage solemnized with a civil contract by the government without a religious ceremony. It's simply a legal status afforded by the government to two individuals who contract to live with one another and form a family unit with one another.
Okay.
That's the marriage that we're talking about.
So you're just talking about a legal contract.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it differs from what the marriage is, that is, because that's not the definition of a biblical marriage. It's more than a legal contract that exists. This is something that, of course, Christians believe is a divine institution by God, and it forms this relationship with them. It's not just a partial, it's not just a product of social development or a civil agreement. It's much greater than that. It's something that is a solemnized covenant between not only the parties that are there, but done in the sight of Almighty God and so forth. Let me, before then, that's the definition you're working with that you are talking about in the new that you're advocating for, a contract, a legal agreement. Let me go to Evan for a second. And Evan, what is your definition of marriage? And let me ask you then, if Brandon then is advocating for a different definition in society than the historical orthodox definition that we've worked with, you know, forever, not only in this country but universally across the globe, does it, by its very introduction of another definition, does it destroy the original definition of marriage?
Thanks, Kevin. I think I've understood Brandon's definition there, but let me first of all give you my definition, as you asked, which is I believe that marriage is a comprehensive union of a man and a woman in an exclusive, monogamous covenant relationship designed to endure for a lifetime and directed towards the rearing of the next generation. And so now, of course, you know, I come to this definition with theological content. I'm not ashamed to offer a theological definition. I believe this definition you can find directly from Genesis chapter 2. But I think this definition could also works. It's essentially what civil society has accepted as a definition of marriage. The big question for me towards Brandon really is if marriage from a civil standpoint is just a legal contract between individuals, does government have the right to limit that contract to any particular number of individuals? So would Evangelicals for Marriage Equality also open the door for bigamy or polygamy or even polyamory? Are there any rational limitations that government could put on marriage in the first place if all it is a legal contract?
Mm-hmm. So if it's much more than that, and you remove it, it just becomes an emotional connection between two individuals, and you introduce a brand new definition, you're saying, where does this end? How can we?
Yep.
Is there any limit to this whatsoever, Brandon?
Yeah, because I mean that would if they're open to that, he mentions about the loving our LGBT friends in the society, but the question is, for the most part, we talk about same sex marriage, so we're talking about lesbians and gays of the LGBT. But when we add the B in there and we start talking about bisexuals, if bisexuals want to enter into a marriage relationship to express what they believe is their sexuality, they would want to be married. You know, you could take a man who is bisexual, and he would say he wants to be married to both a woman and a man at mm-hmm. the same time so that he could express his sexuality. And so I really am raising the question, you know, if marriage from a civil standpoint is just a legal contract, then does government have the right to put any limitations on it whatsoever, which historically it has. We have quite a number of laws on the books where the government limits who can and cannot get married.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, your response?
Definitely. First, I'd want to start off saying, once again, the words that keep being used is that we're trying to offer a new definition of marriage. We're not. The definition of civil marriage that I offered is the definition that the United States government has used for decades, and when we start talking about whether, once we move to the civil definition of marriage, if there are limits to who that applies to and what situations that applies to, why would anyone think that supporting same-sex marriage is going to entail supporting adultery, fornication, polygamy, or incest? It seems that you're assuming that we're advocating that people have the right to fulfill whatever kind of sexual activity they find fulfilling, but no one in this debate thinks that the right to sexual expression is absolute, especially in evangelical. There are very good moral reasons to prohibit some sexual relationships. Incest has genetic effects on offspring and has been proven to lead to human dysfunction in family life. Bestiality is obviously unhealthy and damaging to humans and animals alike. So homosexuality is certainly not condemned in all cultures throughout history, and time again, we have seen that tradition has been wrong. And from the casual side, it's just absolutely absurd to me to assert that acceptance of homosexual relationships will lead to an acceptance of incest and polygamy. In the LGBT community, there's no more immorality than in the heterosexual community.
Hold on. It's homosexuality, the act of homosexuality, is inherently immoral. You believe that. You, at least you say you do in the statement that you make. You say that, you know, that
actually, in our statement, we actually don't say that, because in evangelicalism right now, as everyone is very well aware, there is a grand number of views and a great debate happening over the issue of homosexuality.
So
our board has very different positions on that, all self-identifying as evangelicals, but have different positions on homosexuality.
So you're saying that, and this is important to the context, and I think we need to make this clear, that, you know, when you come out with a name that, is called Evangelicals for Marriage Equality, we're assuming that you are evangelicals in the strain that we think of an evangelical, Bible-believing, conservative Christian that is holding to the what the Scripture says about gender and about that homosexuality is an abomination before God, and that it is something that is to be not commended, but it's to be confronted with the gospel message and a call for repentance. But you apparently are saying here now that that is not what you hold to, that homosexuality is okay?
So what you just said, I think, makes a very clear point. You said in your strain of evangelicism, that's the view, but your strain of evangelicism doesn't represent the whole of evangelical Christians in our country. And if you look at our board, there are different people with very different perspectives on sexuality, ranging from the traditional view to the view of my friend Matthew Vine.
Well, Brandon, what about the criticism then that what you do then is you're just removing all definitions of everything and just saying, well, people hold different views of it, so we don't have any stable definition to actually focus on, because all we have to say is, well, other people hold different views of it. I mean, which do you hold?
The point we're making is that no matter what theological view you have, we're not saying that the traditional view is wrong, but we're also not advocating the traditional view. We're saying whatever view theologically you are convinced that the Scripture teaches, you have the right and should hold to that view.
Yeah.
But you should not be legislated to LGBT men and women.
But to Brandon's, to Evan's point just a moment ago, that if everybody gets to define marriage the way that they want to, in which you seem to be advocating, that everybody can hold a different opinion of everything and nobody's opinion should be imposed upon anybody else in society, then we could actually end up with hundreds of definitions of what marriage is in society, because who would you be to tell a person that they're right or wrong if we don't have an infallible standard to go back to say that this is why it is right or wrong? Do you see my point? I mean,
I don't, actually, because the government is not offering a theological definition of marriage. It never has, and it isn't currently offering a theological definition.
But it is offering a definition of marriage, and you're saying that anybody's definition is open to being overridden by somebody else's definition of it. But they are offering a solid definition of what marriage is, and you're saying, well, that's just your opinion. There's a lot of people that differ on what that really should be. And so for as Evan was just talking about a moment ago, to make the conclusion that somebody would then say my definition includes two men and one woman or five women and one man or whatever, nobody could possibly come and say that that's not a legitimate definition of marriage, because we don't have a one solid definition of marriage that we're working with like we have had. Again, it seems to me that the tremendous, and let me pose this as a question, the tremendous weight of the of precedent leading up until this point, it's been the historical orthodox position from the very beginning, universally, about what marriage is going up against you just saying that, well, it's not fair in our society today, and that it is hurting evangelicals. We're pushing people away by not adopting that position. The weight between those two things, the precedent, the tremendous precedent, and you just saying that it's not fair, seems to be way out of sync. Would you agree?
Absolutely not, because you keep making two fundamental claims that are false. One, the government's definition of marriage is not and has never been a theological definition of marriage, simply a contract that the government affords to incentivize the relationship between two individuals, create a family unit. That's what the U.S. government has always
said. But that definition has always been between a man and a woman. And nobody else. Exclusively.
And what we're saying is in the United States, no one theological position should be legislated over the entire country. That is an un-American value.
Okay, let me throw it back to Evan. Evan, your response to what we've been just discussing?
Well, I understand what Brandon is doing, but he's attempting to do something. He's attempting to bring together a theological group of people, evangelicals, bringing them under the banner of what they claim is a non-theological definition of marriage, so that civil marriage is just a contract between individuals, and without providing any other further definition of marriage. But what he's not doing, what they haven't addressed, and this is what I really want to hear them address, is if we just work within the civil definition of marriage. I'll set aside the theological definition of marriage for a moment. I think we need to come back to that. But if we just look at the civil definition of marriage, if you read our marriage laws, the laws actually lay out a definition of marriage. It is a union of two people. So the government has established a standard. You can call it a discriminatory standard, because that's what it is, because it limits it to two individuals. Historically, in the United States and in most countries in the world, it has limited it to, up until the last 25 years or so, it also limited it to, it made a discriminatory statement based on gender, so that it was between, not only was it two individuals, but it had to be one man and one woman. That's how you got to the two. The government also set limitations or standards based on consanguinity. So there are certain types of people who can get married. You can't be within certain levels of blood relationship to one another. The government also set limitations and discriminatory standards based on age. We have all sorts of age restrictions on who can get married at what age. And under a certain age, can you get married with parental consent? Under other ages, you can't even get married with parental consent. And so if we take just the laws and we add up all of the laws that say, okay, what has the civil definition of marriage been? It has been a relationship or a union between a man and a woman that was assumed to last for a lifetime, because then you had to come up with all sorts of other laws to talk about the dissolution of marriage. So it's assumed from the beginning that this is going to last a lifetime, and that it would be between adults, consenting adults, and that would not be related to one another.
Let me go back.
And so all those things, my big question is, what of those laws would evangelicals for marriage equality want repealed?
Mm-hmm.
We obviously know they would want repealed any laws that exclude based on gender, but what of the other laws that have gone into forming the civil definition? What other ones of those do they want appealed?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
repealed.
I want to toss that to Brandon and get his response to that. But Brandon, let me add this as well. If it's just a legal contract that we're looking at in the civil society, can't they homosexuals already have a legal agreement drawn up where they would be able to visit in the hospital? You can give power of attorney to people, and you can have people to make the decisions, even if you're upon your deathbed and you want somebody to be making decisions for you. You can already do that through the legal system that we have without actually calling it marriage, because it doesn't fit the definition of marriage. Why can't, if we already have another way of going about it, why should we now muddy the waters here, at least, with now coming up with two different kinds of marriage in our society today?
So I think, personally, I would want to say first that I agree. I don't think the government, and this is not the view of evangelicals for marriage equality, but my view, I don't think the government should be in the marriage business at all, but they are. And because they are, it is unjust for them not to extend civil marriage benefits to same-sex marriages. The reality is, people, you can have all these different kinds of contracts that you're referencing, but the full benefits of a married couple cannot be extended to LGBT men and women. And that is a civil injustice in our country.
Well, wait a second. You're saying that can't be done in some other legal means? I think that it can. All those same benefits that are put towards the married couple in our society can be found another way without actually calling it marriage.
See, and now we're getting to the very heart of this matter, another criticism that we launch back at our critics. This is now becoming a semantics game. Many people would be fine with this if we called it something other than marriage, but the reality is the government calls this civil institution marriage. It's not the same thing as the sacrament of marriage. And so until same-sex couples can be civilly married by the government, we're talking about a massive injustice. The government is discriminating against who can enter into a legal status. And for evangelical Christians to stand for that, we are once again, like we have many other times in our history, becoming people who are perpetuating injustice. And that is not what we're called to do. That's not a witness we want to give to the world. We are not representing the gospel
well. But it's not perpetuating injustice just because you stick to the definition of something. When you hold to the definition, you're not inherently then being unjust to another person because they don't fit the definition. You're just saying that words mean something. And when we talk about marriage is exclusively between a man and a woman, and anyone who doesn't fit that definition is outside the scope of them being allowed to be married and for it to be called marriage. So that's not, you're saying that it's so discriminatory to do that. It's not.
Same-sex couples, there are so many rights that same-sex couples cannot receive right now that are harmful, that are, frankly, they're discriminatory. So that's if a couple is not married and one partner dies, the other partner is not entitled.
I just addressed that with you, though. I said that there are other legal means for that
but
to be.
But there aren't.
Yes, there are.
That's
where you're mistaken. There are. You can give the power of attorney to some. You can enter into a contract with anyone that you want to. And in a legal contract, to just say that the person has the right to be able to make decisions on my behalf, or the person has the right to my goods after I pass out of this life. You can enter into those decisions right now legally, and again, without then destroying the definition of marriage by introducing...
But it's not destroying the definition, because the definition afforded by the government is not a religious definition at all.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm just saying by introducing other definitions, you're in essence destroying the single definition, which is limited
for men. But we're not offering any other definition. This is the definition that stands in the government.
Okay. Kevin, can I
insert a question here?
Yeah, go right ahead. Jump in.
A very specific question for Brandon. Brandon, would Evangelicals for Marriage Equality agree with Cody Brown, the star of TLC's Sister Wives, and his four supposed wives, who filed a lawsuit against the state of Utah in federal court and had a decision last December, would Evangelicals for Marriage Equality would they also allow that Cody Brown and his four wives, his polygamous marriage, does that fit the definition of marriage that Evangelicals for Marriage Equality would support?
And the answer that I gave earlier is absolutely not. Why would anyone think that supporting same-sex relationships is going to entail supporting adultery, fornication, polygamy, or incest? Those things, there's no connection between the two. It's the connection that's being imposed on them. And no, absolutely not. It seems that you're assuming that we're advocating that people have the right to whatever kind of sexuality they find fulfilling, and that's not what we're saying. That's not what the government's saying. And so no, absolutely not. We would not advocate that.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Hey, Kevin, I couldn't hear his answer. Can you summarize it for me?
Okay. He was saying no, absolutely not, that it wouldn't that you're assuming that it was going to immediately go to these other cases, and that what they're saying is that it is not going to go to that, and they wouldn't advocate those types of relationships. So he was saying no. But let me ask you.
But on what rational basis would government have the right to limit that?
But on what basis are you assuming that it will lead to that?
Because of the definition is open-ended.
But we're not asking for an open-ended definition. We're asking for the definition to not be to extend to people of all genders.
But
we're not asking for polygamy to become legalized. We're not saying that all sexuality is whatever people find fulfilling is supposed to be legalized. That's not what we're saying. That's not what we stand for.
That's
what the government.
That's why I asked you, what is the definition that you are advocating for? Just a legal agreement between one man and one man, one woman and one woman, or is it broader than that?
The definition for civil marriage is a civil contract without a religious ceremony, and it's a legal status afforded by the government to two individuals who contract to live with each other and form a family unit with one another.
Why two?
Because that's the standard definition of marriage.
That's the point. That's the whole point right there, where you just said that that's the standard definition of marriage. But you're saying that you're going
to appeal to history and the historical definition of marriage limit it to monogamous marriage.
Well, even beyond that, you're imposing a definition upon somebody when you say that, which is what you're saying.
But we're not against imposing definitions. We're not arguing for some fluid definition of marriage. We're asking to say that when evangelical Christians should not be forcing our biblical perspective on civil government. That's the whole point of evangelical marriage equality, is saying we can hold our theological definitions of marriage, and you should have the right to do that in your own church. And we should be able to, pastors should not be forced to marry same-sex couples. We're all for those rights. But we're saying the government is not in the sacramental business. They're not doing the sacrament of marriage when you go to the courthouse.
Let me ask you quickly. Obviously, that is not clear to people exactly what you are asking for. We don't know exactly what that definition is or why that definition is better than the traditional definition that we're using. It just seems to be new and accommodating to our culture today.
But it's not new at all. That's the point.
Okay.
I would actually say that what he is advocating is actually, using his terms, unjust towards certain segments of the LGBT community, including bisexuals. It would also be unjust to people like Cody Brown and his attorney, who is very supportive of same-sex marriage, who also makes the same arguments about polygamy, because they would feel the injustice that Brandon is supposing is personal felt experience injustice. And so if someone would say, I feel that you are being unjust or that limitation is unjust, on what basis then can you disagree with that? And to appeal to, well, that's the way marriage has always been, or that's what the historic definition of marriage has been, shows the fact that their definition of marriage is internally inconsistent.
Okay, Brandon, your response?
Two things. First of all, you have misrepresented bisexual people very poorly, assuming that bisexual means that they want to be with both men and women. That's not how bisexuality works at all. Second of all, the argument that it will lead to this is a slippery slope argument, and it has no basis in reality. Accepting same-sex marriage as a legal status, there is no precedent to say that we're going to end up now in having polyamorous relationships or polygamous relationships. That's a straw man. It's not been proven. And until you can prove it, that can't be an argument that's leveled against it.
Now, let me ask you something slightly different then on this particular issue. Are you and the organization that you represent, Brandon, are you against adultery?
Absolutely.
Does this virtually, by condoning or bringing about civil marriages, does it put two people in a relationship where you are, in essence, then condoning the adultery that will take place in that marriage? And I'm using the more scriptural definition of adultery, which is found, of course, in the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, which talks about the sanctity of marriage, and basically saying that any sexual relationship outside that marriage relationship is an adulterous relationship. If you are condoning and giving a space for two homosexuals to be married, obviously the act of consummating that marriage is going to take place, and so the actual homosexual acts will take place. Aren't you then condoning and normalizing that relationship and bringing about, a place where adultery can take place?
That's one theological perspective about sexuality. But in evangelicalism, whether we like it or not, whether you guys want to agree with it or not, there are faithful evangelicals who are rethinking whether homosexuality is a sin or not. And so to say that you can speak for all of the evangelicals as a whole, say that that is an adulterous relationship, that's absurd, because there are many evangelicals, many on our board who are evangelicals who disagree with that.
Okay, well, Brandon, that brings out a good point. In your statement there, you keep saying that we're not interested in changing people's view about homosexuality. We're just interested in not having you impose the traditional view, the biblical view of marriage upon the society. But that's disingenuous, because you really are. The organization really is.
Absolutely not.
According to the website, it is.
There's nothing on our website, nothing I've said or anything that anyone in our organization has said, that says we are trying to change your theological perspective. I believe you have the right to believe that homosexuality is a sin. You have the right to preach that. In America, that's part of the religious liberties we have. That's what makes our nation great. I'm not saying you need to change that view. No one in our organization is saying that you need to. But no matter what your view is, should you be, are we called by Christ to be legislating and Christianizing the government? Or are we called to be preaching the gospel and witnessing to men and women in our community through loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves?
Well, we're supposed you add it as being an evangelical tool of some sort, that if we go ahead and grant this, that suddenly the homosexuals, they're going to see us as wonderful people and are going to start coming to the church. And I don't think it's a very good evangelistic strategy to...
But it's a lot better than the harm that we keep perpetuating against the LGBT community right
says
now.
Who?
We are harming
says
them
who?
In very real ways.
Yeah, but says who? You're saying it's better. The Bible, where it talks about evangelizing in Genesis, where Abraham sends out Eliezer to find a bride for Isaac, his son. Isaac says, should I bring your son down to her? And he very clearly says, do not bring my son down. And the analogy there that's being used is, let's not bring Christ down to the culture's level, but let's bring them up to Christ. And this would be to, we got to capitulate on all these issues because people see us as bigoted or mean-spirited or...
But we're not asking for you to capitulate. We're saying you can and should hold your theological position.
Yeah.
But should you be trying to Christianize the government? Did Christ call us to do that?
Somebody's morality is going to be put in the government, and as Christians, we should be trying to bring righteousness into the society. And we have as much say in the...
Is that how Jesus did it? Is that how Jesus showed us how we're supposed to build the kingdom?
The scriptures do it. And if you just talk about Jesus, we'd have to talk about all 66 books of the Bible. And all 66 books of the Bible advocate, yes, that we do that.
I fundamentally disagree, and I think that position is very problematic.
Okay. Well, as you keep saying, when you come up with disagreements that way, that's your opinion, and it doesn't, but I'm saying
absolutely,
that
and you're right to hold that opinion, but I'm saying that's not the view I hold.
Yeah.
I don't think let me
throw this back to Evan. Evan, is this a valid strategy for evangelism in the church today, that we go ahead and give over to gay marriage, to same-sex marriage, and this is going to result for the church as a great evangelistic strategy?
I don't think so. And let me bring up two reasons why I don't think it's so. First of all, the argument that's oftentimes thrown out there, which is this would be the loving thing to do. It's the loving thing to accept everybody who disagrees with us. I want to bring back the definition of love from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians 13, and notice that in verse 6, Paul's writing, and he's talking about love, and he says it does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And so, for evangelicals for marriage equality, or Brandon to say that we can have different opinions, and even their board can have different opinions about the morality of homosexuality or something like that, but the loving thing to do would be to support this kind of equality. Well, in the Bible's definition of love, it's not, because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices in the truth. Second, I just want to bring back the example of Jesus and what Jesus would do when he would call people to follow him. He did not say, just continue the way that you are, just do what you want to do and follow me. He would call them to leave behind their old life, He called for repentance. He would say, you know, to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
He constantly called them to turn away from their sinful lifestyle. So for someone who might be on the board of Evangelicals for Marriage Equality, who says, I think homosexuality is a sin, I think it's immoral, but I want to support, you know, homosexual members of the community by allowing for same-sex marriage, they're actually departing from the example set by our Lord and Savior.
Well, John the Baptist
said we should call them to repentance.
Yeah.
That is the loving thing to do. And even then, it's also departing from what Jesus' definition of marriage was.
John the Baptist.
For someone to say, I'm an evangelical, but I want to grant the language of marriage and the title of marriage to this relationship where Jesus very clearly in Matthew 19 says, you know, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Mm-hmm. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Right.
So even Jesus' example and Jesus' definition of marriage, I know that Brandon does not want to employ a theological definition of marriage, but the fact of the matter is, if you are an evangelical, you have to have a theological definition of marriage.
Well, not only that, but it's also the creative intent. It's also the creative intent that they're right at the very beginning.
Certainly.
This is how God made man and woman. This is essential to who man is. This is not just then. That's why we can bring it over into the societal part. But let me just mention, too, that John the Baptist spoke out against Herod and said it was not right for him to have his brother's wife. If to hold to Brandon's definition there just a few moments ago, that we shouldn't say anything, basically, I guess, in society about a righteous standard, John the Baptist apparently was out of line in speaking out against Herod.
Absolutely
there.
Not.
Okay. Brandon, the idea of what about the creative intent? You know, we're talking about beginning.
Yeah. But you keep trying to push me to give you my theological definition of marriage. The point is, I have a theological definition. Everyone on our board has a theological definition. But what we're saying is whatever theological definition you have, is it our call to make the broader non-Christian society submit to our definition? And if so, then you have a lot of questions to answer on your own end. Because both you and I believe it's a sin to get drunk, but neither one of us are working to make drunkenness illegal. We both believe adultery is a sin, but you're not working to make that illegal. We both believe lying is a sin. You're not working to make that illegal. And so the inconsistency is not on necessarily our part. The inconsistency lies on those who, unless you're trying to fully Christianize society, then I see your view as inconsistent.
No, it's not inconsistent, because the idea, as I'm pointing out here, too, with the creative intent that this is how God made man and woman, and it's essential to the family unit. There is men and women are not the same. And when you introduce, somebody's got to be right about the definition. There's got to be a right definition and a wrong definition. And for you to just say that anybody can have a definition and nobody can impose.
That's not what I've said. I've never said that once.
Well, wait a second. That nobody can impose a definition. Whatever definition we come up with, somebody's definition is going to be imposed. And what we're saying
is. Not in the church. The church has the right to hold our theological, biblical definition.
I'm talking about in society. I'm talking about somebody's definition is going to be. What do you mean? Somebody's definition is going to be imposed in society, and I'm saying that the definition that we're advocating for being.
And you believe we're called to advocate our definition. We're called to Christianize our society. Is that what Christ has
no,
called us to do?
No. Let me finish the point. Somebody's definition is going to be implemented in society, and I'm saying that the tremendous weight of the definition that we're holding to. The burden is upon you to tell us why that should be jettisoned and why we should
because
go.
Because it's perpetuating injustice, pain, harm.
It's not.
But it is, absolutely. Go talk to any LGBT man or woman who had their spouse die, but they couldn't, but they weren't recognized by the government to be married, and the whole plethora of benefits that they're not able to receive and a lot of things that they're not able to do. Because the government doesn't recognize them as a married couple.
What?
It's perpetuating an injustice, great pain, and it's making people look at evangelicals and see us once again like we were with interracial marriage 10
But the LGBT community is not unified in this. There are members of the LGBT community that say we don't want same-sex marriage to be legalized. You're speaking as if it's monolithic, but there's great variety. Just like you say there's great variety in evangelicalism, there's great variety in the LGBT community. There are those who have written academic articles, who've written popular-level articles, that this is not what they're looking for. This is not what they want. And then there's those that say, no, we want it to go further. We want it to continue past just same-sex marriage. We want it to extend to polygamy as well. So you've got a broad spectrum even within the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. So it's not a monolithic group.
Brandon. Take outliers and try to make that the case of the whole LGBT community. That is a tactic that is harmful, it's wrong, and it's unjust.
Brandon. Are you against, then you're against any sort of discrimination, right? I mean, that's your point, and you're saying
I think Christ is against discrimination.
Okay, but is this now going to lead, if that is accepted in this society and becomes not only normalized, legalized and normalized in our society, what about the discrimination that's going to take place against people who don't hold to that view, like we're seeing right now with people that won't bake a cake for to celebrate the gay marriage, or people that won't hire somebody because it's a private organization and so forth. Isn't this going to actually result in more discrimination across of anybody who holds a different opinion? It's already doing so. How can you say it's not
it's
going
to? That's a myth. That is one of the most perpetuated myths, that our religious liberties are going to come under attack.
Brandon, people are already losing their jobs over this. If you mention this on ESPN, that you're against same-sex marriage, you'll lose your job on ESPN right now because you'll be against Michael Sam.
No one is asking for churches to be forced to perform same-sex marriages. That's not being advocated.
I didn't ask that. I said it's going to result in discrimination against the
broad. You're asking a different question. We're talking about marriage equality, not non-discrimination on the broader cultural level.
I'm telling you that anybody who doesn't hold and embrace the idea of same-sex marriage is going to be discriminated against in our culture.
That's
already happening.
True. No, it's not. There's no evidence of any churches being forced to marry gay people, and that's the only argument that could be. Only fear that could be perpetuated against if same-sex marriage becomes legal in the United States.
Advocating for that. Is there a case of any photographer or baker being forced to perform their services for same-sex marriage?
But that's not the issue of marriage equality.
What is it?
That's an issue of LGBT discrimination. That's an issue that our board doesn't talk about, because we each have differing views on that. We're talking about the issue of marriage equality, and now you're putting it into other political positions.
This was specifically they wouldn't perform the services for a same-sex marriage. It's very closely tied to what we're talking about.
It isn't, because we're talking about the right to be married, not business owners who are recognized by the government's ability to discriminate against people. That's not the issue we're talking about. We're talking about whether on the government, on the civil level, LGBT couples can be married under the law, and the answer is they should absolutely be able to, and that is a matter of justice.
Yeah, but I was pointing out that the discrimination is going to take place on the other side. Anybody who doesn't agree with then that people can be same-sex couples should be married. Well, I think that we've seen that already, and we're seeing it every day. But thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on, Brandon, to talk about this issue. And, Evan, I appreciate you coming on to give that perspective as well. And it's going to be interesting if from the organization Evangelicals for Marriage Equality go to Brandon's classes. It'd be interesting to follow up and to see what takes place there. But I thank you both for coming on today to talk about this issue. And I'm sure that this won't be the end of it. Maybe we'll do a follow-up one afterwards with a little bit more specific questions that we can address on the program. Thanks again, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Remember this and all the things that we talk about, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.